The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. How much extra tax would you be prepared to pay? What public expenditure would you agree with being cut if we had to pay for the costs of Irish unification? The question has been asked because of a major report today published by two esteemed economists, John Fitzgerald of Trinity College Dublin and Edgar Morgenthrott of Dublin City University, who have suggested that the costs of Irish unification could run to as much as, get this, 20 billion euro each year for two decades. Professor John Fitzgerald, once of the SRI, now Trinity College. Tell us, please, how did you reach this figure of 20 billion euro per annum?
Well, the gap between revenue and expenditure in Northern Ireland is about 11 billion in 2019. It's much higher in 20 and 21, but that's partly because of COVID. So we looked at 2019 in particular. There are some things which would be cheaper in the United Ireland, like the British Army costs a lot more than the Irish Army. So we made some adjustments. So that leaves you with about a 10 billion hole that if the central government in London was not filling, we'd have to fill.
And how then does it get to 20 billion?
Well, welfare rates are much higher in the Republic and public sector pay rates are much higher. You're looking at them being higher by a third. In a United Ireland, realistically, you wouldn't expect, if people from the north joined, that they'd be treated as second-class citizens and paid much less. So if you raise welfare rates and pay rates in the north to those in the Republic, that adds another 10 billion onto the cost.
Does that include pensions as well? Because there is a suggestion that pensions for people in the north would continue to be paid by the British, even after reunification.
And the British could be very generous, but it was not something that they would have done for Scotland. And if Scotland became independent, they wouldn't do it for them. So setting a precedent in the case of Ireland. And it doesn't really make sense. Like, the social welfare pension in Ireland and in Britain, those of us who are past in pension age, we receive it, and it is paid for by the social insurance contributions each year from each individual who is paying PRSI. So the revenue roughly covers the expenditure. That's the logic of it. So in the United Ireland, everybody in the north would be paying PRSI to the revenue commissioners in Dublin, and they'd be getting pensions. But why would the UK pay them pensions when they're not getting the tax revenue for it? I just don't see it. Now, obviously, the British could be very generous and do so, but it would be out of line with any other precedent.
So how would we fund this additional 20 billion euro per annum? How much would our taxes have to go up? What sort of cuts would we have to make to existing spending?
Well, it's a bit like having a bank bailout every 3 years. The cost of the bank bailout, or it was more than you're talking about, but it'd be the cumulative cost of this would be a bank bailout every 3 years for a lengthy period. So if you remember how bad things were in 2009, 10, 11, that gives you an idea, except it would continue over a long period.
We're joined as well by the Sinn Féin TD for Donegal, Padraig McLaughlin. Padraig, what do you make of these estimates put forward by John Fitzgerald and Edgar Morgenthrott?
Well, there's been strong criticism of the paper by Edgar and John from other esteemed economists. Seamus McGuinness, the economics professor at the SRI, has been very strong in the criticism of the paper. And he said that, you know, there's a number of issues here. It's based on a static analysis right now, not, you know, assuming that we'd have a cliff edge, that there'd be no role for Britain, no role for the EU, no role for the UK. It assumes that the productivity of the economy in the north is not going to change in the foreseeable future, even though there's huge opportunities for the north now when you look at what we achieved by standing up to the Tories on Brexit. So the people in the north of Ireland have unique access to both the British economy and the European Union economy. Huge opportunities for growth there. And of course, the issue of the subvention. I mean, John is working on the basis of the subvention being 9.4 billion. But to any analysis of it in the context of United Ireland, it would be probably, you know, a fraction of that, as low as 2 billion or less. So there is stringent criticism of the paper. But I will say this, I actually commend John and Edgar. At least they've done something, put something down, created a debate. It's much more than the Irish government has done, which is no plan, no preparation, and we would go recklessly into a referendum. So you need to prepare, you need to have these debates, you need to thrash these things out. So well done to John and Edgar on that basis.
But Padraig, would you be, sorry, just John, before I come back to you, would you be concerned, Padraig, that if we did get into a referendum in the Republic in relation to a United Ireland, that there could be a campaign against it based on you got to be afraid about how much this is all going to cost you in your taxes, so don't vote for reunification?
Well, I think the issue in terms of the north of Ireland is they've suffered, and I know as a Donegal man how much our border region and the north has suffered from partition. So there's no doubt that, you know, that would have a dramatic improvement on the economy in the north. So you can't base it on what's there now, the failure of partition. We're talking about a whole new dimension. Even now, the All-Ireland economy has improved significantly. You know, that's one of the few benefits of Brexit, is the All-Ireland economy has seen a dramatic increase. So we need to prepare responsibly, Matt. We need to have a citizens' assembly. We need to do, you know, what John and Edgar has done here. While I would dispute the findings of the methodology, I think that it's good that we're having the debate. And that's what's missing, is a proper, responsible preparation for the United Ireland that people are going to vote on in due course.
But Padraig, if Northern Ireland is enjoying the best of both worlds at present by being a member of the European Union by proxy, having access to it while still being part of the United Kingdom, will those productivity and other benefits continue if it is no longer part of the UK and just continues as being part of Ireland, as part of the EU?
Well, I mean, one of the big points that a number of people have made, Professor John Doyle of DCU, Professor Seamus McGuinness, is they've talked about, you know, the potential for growth in the northern economy over the time ahead, and of course the potential for growth after partition. And, you know, when you align the economic strategies on the island, and in fairness to, you know, our state, our governments, I would criticise them on health, on housing, on many issues, but in terms of inward investment, in terms of positioning themselves for job creation, they have done really, really well. So I see that happening for the north, and I don't see this sort of basket case economic situation in the north continuing at all. I genuinely believe that United Ireland would be economically of benefit to all the people of Ireland, not just the people of the north or the border counties.
Okay, John Fitzgerald, you wanted to get back in on what point?
Padraig is right that if there is a dramatic change in productivity in Northern Ireland, in 20 years' time, the gap would be narrowed greatly. But the single most important change that Northern Ireland needs to make in order to raise productivity is to dramatically change its educational system. The research by Seamus McGuinness, whom Padraig mentioned, along with Emer Smith and the SRI, research by the leading academic economist in Northern Ireland, Danny Barua, 5, 6, 7 years ago, all shows the Northern Ireland education system is failing, in particular, kids from working class backgrounds. It discriminates against them. And also Northern Ireland is losing a disproportionate share of the graduates who go to university in England and don't come back. If the government in Northern Ireland dramatically changed the educational system to integrate the secondary and grammar schools and worked hard to make it an attractive place for graduates to come back to, that could dramatically change things. But remember, keeping kids in school, we made the change in 1967, and 25 years on, then we saw the boom in the 1990s. So the cost of United Ireland in 25 years' time could be dramatically changed if Northern Ireland makes the changes in its educational system and the other changes that are needed.
But John, the most relevant perhaps example of reunification that would be applicable to this part of the world was the reunification of Germany back in 1990. Did that provide an uplift in benefits for the people of East Germany immediately, or did it take time?
Oh, no, right at the beginning, welfare rates and pay rates were dramatically improved in East Germany. So yes, they were much better off, but it cost a huge amount. My colleague Edgar Morgenroth has studied the German case, so it's not necessarily the best example of how to do it.
And is it likely, though, that if you put together the economies of North and South, that they would be dramatically better off as a result of reunification, given that the population of the combined island is still less than, say, the Greater Manchester region?
Getting rid of the border would mean more trade within the island, and that would be good. But the problem is it mean putting a border between Northern Ireland and GB, which there isn't really at present. And because the Northern Ireland economy is part of the British economy, that would have a very negative effect to begin off with. The other thing is the studies which advocate a united Ireland say, oh, you'll see major foreign investment in the north. You'll only see the foreign investment in the north if they have the skills, the people with the qualifications to work there. That's why I concentrate on the educational system. That's why Seamus McGuinness and Emer Smith concentrate on education. That's why Vanni Barua concentrates on education. You need to improve the education so you have people with the relevant skills in Northern Ireland to work for foreign multinationals. At present, they're not there, and you need to make the changes to make that. If you do, then the gap between the north and the south would change. And also, if you prefer to remain part of the United Kingdom indefinitely, it would also make people in Northern Ireland much better off. So the northern government has a challenge.
Patrick McLaughlin, last one to you. If we were to have United Ireland, it would mean that we would end up having the border in the Irish Sea. And how then do you think would our economic links between Ireland and Britain work in that case, particularly if Britain remains outside the European Union?
Well, you know, I think of, you know, the European Union and the United States playing such a fundamental role in the Good Friday Agreement, and all of that came back into play in the recent Brexit drama over recent years. So I would very much see a situation where if both sides of the island of Ireland, the people voted for reunification in a referendum, I would expect a transition period. I would expect a responsible approach by Britain, facilitated by the European Union. So I'm very hopeful of the opportunities, the potential of Irish reunification. I see it as a chance to look again at our health service, at our education system, at our economy, balanced regional development, all of those issues in a positive light. There's huge opportunities, but we need to start planning now. And that's the problem, Matt, is, you know, and while I have concerns and criticisms of John and Edgar's paper here, you know, they've at least made an effort to contribute to the debates, you know, and we need to have a government that does the same.
Thank you very much, Padraig McLaughlin, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal, Professor John Fitzgerald of Trinity College.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.